From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruiak. California voters have 11 ballot measures to consider in this election. If you default and just vote no, you might be making a decision you don't really want to make. So we're going to spend a little bit of time on the measures today, starting with Prop 8. This is the most contentious, most expensive of all of them in this cycle. This is the dialysis center proposition. And in the studio with me is Cap Radio's healthcare reporter, Sammy Caola. Sam has been spending a lot of time with Prop 8. Glad to have you in here today.
Good morning, Beth.
Let's start with how much money is being spent on this battle.
Yeah, so we have a pretty hefty amount of cash being thrown around here. The opposing side has put in $105 million at this point, and the supporting side has put in $20 million. So altogether, it's $125 million, which is pretty astronomical. It's much more than any other proposition we've seen this year.
I want to get to why so much money is being spent, but let's back up and give a brief explainer about a kidney dialysis clinic. What's happening there? Who's there? And why?
So these are outpatient clinics where people come for a couple of hours, a few days a week. Some people spend as many as 20 hours a week going and hooking up to a machine that essentially functions as a kidney when their own kidneys have failed or you know, any other reason that they need the toxins filtered out of their blood by a machine. And these are owned by mostly two really big corporations, DaVita and Fresenius. They own about 70% of the clinics in California. And, you know, patients really are reliant on the staff there to operate these machines correctly and get them, you know, where they need to be health-wise.
So how did this matter of kidney dialysis clinics land on the ballot? And I should say for most people, some sort of insurance is paying for the dialysis treatment. Maybe it's Medicare, Medi-Cal, maybe it's a private insurance coverage.
Yeah, most people who get dialysis in California are on Medi-Cal, though there are private insurers who pay for it as well. And this got on the ballot actually after some legislative attempts. So all of this effort started with SEIU-UHW, which is a pretty powerful labor union on the West Coast. And they have been trying to fight for better rights for patients, is the way that they're describing it, better care for patients, I should say. So they tried to pass a ballot measure last year that would have increased the staff-to-patient ratio in the clinics. And they tried to pass They tried to pass a law.
Okay.
So last year they tried to pass a law that would have increased the staff-to-patient ratio. So basically hired more people so that patients, you know, have more people looking after them in the clinic. And they also tried to pass a law doing what this ballot measure would do. So now it's on the ballot, and what it would do is basically cap what the owners of the clinics can spend on administration and overhead costs. And the supporters, the labor unions, they say this might force the clinic owners to spend more money on patients. So hiring more staff, training the staff, buying new medical equipment, things that directly translate to patient care, and basically funneling money away from profits.
So it's correct to say that Prop 8 would limit how much the clinics can essentially charge for treatment, correct?
Correct.
I want to go back over the yes and no very clearly because this has been so confusing, even with all the ads and radio time and flyers. What do proponents say about Prop 8 being needed for patient care?
Right. So proponents say that these huge dialysis companies are price gouging patients. They're charging far more than they need to for low quality care. They say that this measure, if it passes, it will force these companies to change the way they spend their money, moving it out of this profit category and into this quality of care category, increasing the quality for patients.
You talked to a patient, a Los Angeles patient.
Yes. So this is Tangie Foster. She's 60. She's been in dialysis for about 10 years. And she talked to me about sort of how scary it is to be on a dialysis machine. And the staff there, you know, she felt like they were tired and overworked. And she wasn't sure that they were really taking care of her that well.
And if I die in this chair, I'm going to die alone without my family. And these people have to save our lives. and to know that they're not giving us the best they have is unacceptable. And we're technically helpless when we're in there.
So where is she on Prop 8? What does she think of the ballot measure?
Yeah, so she supports it. She's working with the Yes on 8 campaign. And, you know, she's hoping that if it passes, that it will be good for the staff, because she is, you know, concerned for them that, you know, they're not being treated well. And she says if the staff isn't being treated well, then the patients aren't being treated well. So I think she's hoping, like all the supporters are, that this funding will make its way down to patients and make clinics a safer place.
I guess one question in all of this is what we actually know about the outcomes in dialysis. And I think it's limited in terms of data out there. I believe that CalMatters has been one source of studying this. But what have you found in your reporting?
Sure. So there isn't a lot of data on how these companies spend their money because they're not currently required to report that. And that's actually something else that's in the proposition, is a requirement that they really keep track of where they spend and they report that to the state. But yeah, there's this CalMatters analysis of complaints that patients made to the California Department of Public Health. And just so you know, there are about 600 clinics in California. And the state got about 577 complaints, and they found about 370 deficiencies. And this is in a 2.5-year period. And most of those deficiencies had to do with vital signs not being checked by staff every 30 minutes, which is required by law. And also they found translation services were not being provided to non-English speaking patients. And in at least one case, a staff member failed to check the connection between a patient and a machine, and blood was oozing from the patient's medical port. So, yeah, CalMatters found a couple of weird things going on. And, you know, anytime dialysis isn't done correctly, it can lead to infections or respiratory issues. There's a couple of things that can happen. So we know that there are cases like that. But the side opposing the measure, which is mostly funded by the clinic operators, they say, of course, there's always room for improvement, but that California actually is doing well and doing better than other states in terms of dialysis patient outcomes. So there's really a lot of back and forth there about the quality in these clinics.
You're listening to Cap Radio's healthcare reporter, Sammy Kaola. Bear with me while I keep going over what a yes vote and what a no vote means. If you vote yes on Prop 8, you might agree with the people who are saying Prop 8 will stop dialysis companies from overcharging. It will lower healthcare costs, which would be good for all Californians. You just gave a nod to the no people who say, no, this is going to force dialysis clinics to cut services and close. So say a little bit more about why they say patient care will be worse.
I'm about to make this even more tricky. Sorry to do that to you, but the way the prop is written, it basically says certain costs are allowable and certain costs are not. So the allowable costs are supposed to be those directly related to patient care. And the other costs would be, you know, administrative overhead, salaries for managerial positions. And the no side, which is, it's the clinic operators, but also doctors. There's the California Medical Association. A lot of doctors' groups are against this. They say that because there won't be as much funding for managerial positions, they might lose their nurse managers or their medical directors, these positions that are really crucial to patient care. And they're worried that if they have to keep their spending restricted this way in these buckets, that it'll hurt them financially. So this is Dr. Luis Alvarez. He's a physician and he's a board member of Satellite Dialysis. They own about 8% of the clinics in California. And here's his take.
It is hard to make ends meet. And when a piece of legislation comes around that tells you after you're working so hard that all of these things that you've worked to do and people you've worked to hire that actually improve the care of patients will no longer be allowed under this rule of who you're going to pay for and who you're not going to pay for, and that these things are really going to ultimately, they are going to result in the closure of clinics, and they are going to result in less access for patients to clinics, To me, that is really a terrible, terrible thing.
So it's confusing, right? You hear some people say,
yeah,
this is going to help patients. This is going to make things better. And then you have these other people saying, this is going to hurt patients. This is going to be awful.
I think because this proposition projects a lot. What if it does happen? What if it doesn't happen? We don't have that firm, absolute yes or no in this ballot measure.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation. It all depends on how these categories of allowable and not allowable costs are interpreted, which is ultimately probably going to be up to the courts. So the opposition, you know, they're really seeing it as too drastic. These cuts are too drastic. Clinics will not be able to stay afloat in this situation. So you see doctors opposing, and you actually see patient groups on the opposition side as well as on the support side, different patient groups.
It's funny how in a ballot measure, something like a dialysis clinic can be raised up into a spotlight, and we now know more about these clinics than we ever did before. But what does this say about the healthcare industry in California overall?
So this is a very specific situation, and you might think, yeah, why are we talking so much about dialysis clinics? But I talked to an expert at the UC Berkeley Center for Labor Research and Education. His name is Ken Jacobs. And he says this actually says a lot about the state of our healthcare market right now.
I think we're going to see a lot more attention to these issues in the future, both the overall question of what's happening with consolidation and anti-monopolistic practices by healthcare companies, especially in the hospital industry. There were bills last year where it came up. I think that issue is not going away. And then the ballot initiative specifically addresses this on one particular part of the industry, a particularly profitable part of the industry in terms of the dialysis centers. But I think the issues that it's raising are issues that go well beyond this particular case.
So basically he's saying this isn't the only place where we see high prices for what may not be the best quality care, at least what some patients say isn't the best quality care. And so because you've got this really consolidated situation, you might be seeing some price gouging.
Some ballot measures barely pass before there's a court effort. There's a challenge waiting in the wings for the vote. What's the situation with this one?
Yeah, so, I mean, if it passes, it just would need a simple majority to pass, like all the statewide propositions. And then after that, whether it would be challenged in court, it's hard to say. I'm sure people have speculated that it will, being how contentious it was and being how fierce the opposition has been. So I guess we'll just have to see.
I think all we can do is keep having these conversations. And then as people gather, talk with their family, friends about how they're going to vote, it gets kind of flushed out, so to speak, even more. So still a little bit confusing, Sammy. It still just is. Thank you so much for working it out, though. I'm going to point everybody to Sammy Kaola's story online, which is at capradio.org. There's more about Prop 8. Thanks again for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Beth.
And in a moment, McGeorge Law Professor Mary Beth Moylan will be here with an opportunity for you to review all the statewide measures on this year's ballot. We'll get to that after a short break. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.